Our car segment is coming up right now. The publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, contributor to the Daily Drive blog, joins us once a month to answer any and all of your car and automotive-related questions. 312-981-7200. Talk and text your questions. It gets pretty busy when Tom is here. So get your car questions in now. 312-981-7200. And we welcome Tom Appel to the show. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
I am good. Thank you.
All right. So, we are here to talk some car stuff.
Good.
Yeah. All right. So how you been?
I've been sick. I had that thing that went around, but I am better now.
You feel better?
I do. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it's that cough thing. I got that, and then everyone in my office got it.
Yeah, no, there was a weird couple of things going around here for a while.
Yeah.
Here at GN. Here's one of the other advantages to working the hours that I work, Tom, is that there's no one here to sneeze at you.
You avoid it.
You know, we're just not, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, we can't avoid the stuff that's here that people have touched and sneezed upon.
Sure.
But we can stay away from the people.
Well, that's key, I think, because I think a lot of people wish they had stayed away from me.
Yeah, I can't tell you the number of times, especially married women who have said that to me. All right. Well, listen, Tom, tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive again. Give them a little background and how long you've been with them and all that cool stuff. Because I forgot to take a break. I was supposed to take a break, Dan. Right after something, so
it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so let's have Tom do the intro, and we'll take a break and come back and dive right in. Go ahead, Tom. Tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Well, thank you. Sure, yeah, we've been around since 1967. We are ConsumerGuide.com. We used to do the beloved monthly car review journals that sadly became. They did what all sorts of print things did. They disappeared. We went completely online in 2007. You can find us at ConsumerGuide.com. That's all our new car and used car reviews. We try to have some fun with the automotive news and reviews at the CGDailyDrive.com blog.
Right. And, wow, excuse me. And you're constantly test driving stuff.
I am, yeah.
And we're going to talk about, we always love to talk about what you are currently driving and what you've driven between visits here at on the show.
Yeah.
And much more. So that's all coming up. Tom, hang on, all right?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us. He's great. He's from Consumer Guide Automotive. We'll talk about some general car stories, stuff that he's written for the Daily Drive blog, and answer any and all of your automotive-related questions. 312-981-7200. Talk and text. 312-981-7200. Morning, everybody. Hi, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live. I'm your overnight dude every weekday morning, 2 to 5 a.m. We are in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. At 5 o'clock, it's Steve Grzanich in the opening bell. And at 6 o'clock, it's my buddy, the great Steve Cochran, coming in for this Tuesday morning. Two for Tuesday later on in the show, we'll start playing some two for bumps from you guys, your requests. But right now, we're talking with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. And we're talking everything car-related, any car-related or automotive-related questions, comments, 312-981-7200. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. Some interesting stories.
Yeah.
That are out and about. There's automakers are agreeing to put automatic braking in cars by 2022, seems to be the latest. First of all, tell everybody what that technology is for those who might not have it, and how are they going to get this in there, in the cars?
Yeah, this is an interesting story because it sort of plays at two levels. Automatic braking is often referred to as crash avoidance software or crash avoidance equipment. And simply stated, your car or elements on your car, systems on your car, will detect an obstacle in front of you and will apply the brakes perhaps before you are prepared to do so that you can avoid an accident. And there are varying degrees of how this works. You can take a vehicle like the Subaru with its EyeSight system, which will detect something and bring you to a complete stop. And there are systems that only do that at low speed. There are systems that won't bring you to a complete stop, but will slow you down. And hopefully you've taken notice of the fact that the car is beeping and braking so that you can take over. But what's happened is that a number of car makers, 20 different manufacturers, have agreed with the U.S. government, with the National Traffic Highway Safety Administration, to voluntarily have this on all their cars by 2022. And that's a good thing because there is legislation involved. It's a sticky, tricky thing because without legislation, what these systems are isn't very well defined. So there's a lot going on out there.
So is it a matter of wording? I mean, are they really going to have to come to an agreement on how they describe what the technology is?
Yes, actually, it would be helpful because there are very cheap and affordable systems that are effective, but they're not nearly as effective as some of those that are coming out now on luxury vehicles that will detect something far away and bring you to a complete stop without the driver ever being involved. Mm. So the degree to which these will be effective will be very, very different if there isn't tighter legislation. But what may happen is that manufacturers may agree to go ahead and implement this, and over time legislation will show up anyway and define what this technology really is.
I see. Now, you've driven cars that have this technology.
Yes.
And how do you feel about it?
It can be a little bit annoying in the city, but what we're going to find is these systems are refined, they'll probably become adjustable. But every now and then you'll find yourself in a situation in stop and go traffic where it'll engage. And like, I was completely aware of what was going on.
Yeah.
I had the situation in hand, and yet the car took over braking, which is always very freaky.
I would imagine. Is there a way to turn that system off in those situations, or is it an automatic thing that once the car is on, the automatic braking is part of it, and you can't turn it off?
I'm not aware of an automatic braking system you can turn off. What you do find is that some of them are adaptive. And we'll kind of understand that you're in stop-and-go traffic and back off.
Mm, okay. All right. So by 2022, is that realistic, Tom?
Yeah, it is, because this technology already exists. It's a question of money. This is going to add something to the cost of every car.
Okay. So the prices are going to go up.
Yeah, yes, they are.
And are there a bunch of different companies that supply this technology to automakers?
Yeah, there's like three or four major suppliers that supply this stuff. Manufacturers, what they'll do is if they come up with a good system, they might partner with a company like Denso or Delphi or Visteon, and they'll have exclusive rights to it for a year or two, but then those companies make it available to everybody.
Okay. So we're looking at that by 2022.
Yeah.
All right. So that's one of the stories. John from Elgin sends in a text, and a lot of people can do that or call in. It's the same number, 312-981-7200. John from Elgin says, what major car manufacturers, this is kind of a piggyback on from what we were just talking about, what major car manufacturers have the best car technology, and what are some of the new car tech things that we can look forward to?
You know, it's a fun one that's coming up soon, and you see this in a couple of Nissan products, for example, is a rear-view camera that appears in your rear-view mirror, which is pretty nice because you actually get a broader view. So when you back up, and I think this is on the Nissan Murano for right now, for example, as you back up, it'll appear the rear view in a broader angle.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it appears in your rear-view mirror. So you're now looking where you always did.
Right, because now most of them are what? They're in the dash?
Yeah, they're in the dash,
right?
Which is one place, and that's maybe a little more awkward for people. Additionally, it's a broader view, and you're not looking through seats and people, which is kind of cool,
right?
For the higher view.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And what are there certain car manufacturers that are really heading the world of technology, that leading it?
Yeah, like you have the new Mercedes-Benz E-Class that's coming out now, and that's an example of pretty much everything possible on a car. That goes way beyond just adaptive cruise control and things like that. There are systems on that car, for example, that detect when a driver is becoming careless or it assumes drowsy.
Wow.
Yeah, and it'll do things to wake you up, including vibrating the seat or the steering wheel, making beeping noises and suggesting that you pull over and get coffee.
That's cool. That's insane. That is so cool.
Yeah.
You know, that should be, you know, you're talking about things that should be mandatory. Don't you think that should be mandatory for truck drivers?
That will probably end up being mandatory soon.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was just driving the Ford Explorer, which has a similar system, and I was driving on the Edens. And for some reason, it equates driving on the Edens with a drowsy driver.
I used to have to drive the Edens every day when I worked. I worked in Evanston for a few years, and I drove the Edens every day. I can understand that.
Yeah, I wasn't drowsy. I was just dealing with it.
So did it start beeping and vibrating and stuff?
Yes, yes. It warned me to pull over.
Get off the Edens.
Which is always good advice, I
feel. You're right. Okay, Tom, hang on, all right?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us. Any and all car and automotive questions. We got a bunch coming in at 312-981-7200. Talk and text. We'll talk with Tom coming up after we break and the news, which is next. All right. Good morning, everybody. Hi. I am Nick DiGilio, your overnight dude here on 720 WGN. Tom Appel is my guest. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, contributor to their Daily Drive blog. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. That's how you follow him on Twitter. But you can text some questions in if you'd like right now, or call 312-981-7200. Any car-related questions for car_guy_Tom. Let's welcome Tom Appel back to the show. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Hey, before we move on, we were getting some questions and comments about the automatic braking.
Okay.
815 area code says, will self-braking systems work if you are about to hit something like a small person or a child?
That is a different situation, but the answer is generally yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's obstacle detection, and then there's actually different systems that are pedestrian and even large animal detection. So there are different elements to it. Obviously, a system might detect absolutely anything in your path, but a car is a much larger, easier thing to detect.
Mm.
Detecting people is a little trickier, but pedestrian detection systems do exist. They work a little differently, and they look for different things at different heights.
Mm.
But those will eventually be incorporated into the other systems.
Okay.
They're separate. But a lot of the systems that detect a car will detect a person just as a matter of course.
Okay. And some couple of more interesting questions here from the listeners, Tom.
Okay.
847 says, what if your braking system goes awry? Who will be to blame in an accident?
That's a great question. If your brakes are working, the system should probably work pretty well. These are surprisingly effective systems that use radar and cameras. And they tend to not make mistakes. They tend to know if you're closing in on something. But if something does go wrong, that's a very interesting legal question. I think the chances of that are fairly small just because manufacturers have gone ahead with this.
Yeah.
And they're super litigation sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they wouldn't quadruple test it 8 million times before they would even okay it. 262 area code, how will the automatic braking system work on black ice or bad weather? We have the system on semis now, and there are some issues with phantom braking where it has been a bad read and nobody's around and the truck does start to brake.
That's a good question. I'm not aware of any phantom braking situations, but obviously it can happen. To answer part of that question, on ice, it'll work as well as your brakes will work on ice. So if conditions are bad, it's not going to be better than braking alone.
Mm-hmm.
But as for phantom stuff, I'm not aware of that happening. It's possible that a car, because it's simply closer to the ground, might work a little bit more effectively. I don't know that. That's a great question.
Yeah, that is a good question. Thank you guys for that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. All right, you know, since we're talking about technology, there's a story from this week where the FBI is warning automakers and owners about hacking risks now that there's so much technology everywhere. I mean, you know, all of us are essentially walking around with mini computers in our pockets now, loaded with stuff. And now there are, you know, smart cars and smart technology that goes into cars. And then the risks of getting hacked. And the FBI is warning people about that. What do you know about this story?
Yeah, there's a couple interesting developments. We all remember that, was it a year and a half ago, when Jeep rather famously was forced to contend with the fact that editors from Wired magazine were able to hack a vehicle and to some extent drive it, which was frightening. And this forced a very quick recall of about 1.5 million vehicles to sort of patch the hole that those editors had gotten through. Since that time, there's been a couple of small recalls, but they're interesting and worth noting. General Motors, for example, has a fairly comprehensive app that you can use for your Chevrolet Volt. And it's useful that it allows people to know how the car is charging, if it's charging, and you can turn it on or off to heat or warm the car while it's still plugged in. It turns out that that app had some holes in it and allowed people, it didn't happen, but could have allowed people to get in and perhaps steal the car or mess with the car. Additionally, and this doesn't really have so much to do with anything especially smart, BMW got into some trouble where hackers were able to get into cars through the doors. Yeah, and that's just using keyless entry, and that's been a threat that's been around for a long time. But I think that qualifies as hacking because you're stealing a signal and getting in between an owner and the vehicle electronically. So that was fixed, too. And these are things that we're going to be dealing with. These are sort of the new recalls of a new era. I don't think the situation is out of hand, but it's sort of the new thing to worry about.
Yeah, you know, whenever there's new technology, you got to worry about certain things, you know. And then it's a question of the manufacturers and the people who are dealing with the technology and making the technology to adjust.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And if people are watching for it, they should report stuff right away. That just helps the manufacturer get around to fixing something faster.
Got it. But the FBI is issuing warnings, so.
Yep. Okay,
all right. 847 area code says, the new Honda Pilot 2016 looks so much like a van now. How much better is it than a Pilot 2015? I was thinking of trading it in, but I don't like the look of the 2016. Is it really that good for an upgrade?
Wow, what a conundrum, because yes, it's very, very good.
Ah.
It is quieter. It is much nicer inside. It is a more refined vehicle, and it's very good. I don't know. I actually thought it was better looking, but that's my opinion.
But it looks like a van.
I guess it does.
Yeah.
I guess it does.
Okay. All right. The fallout from what happened with VW last year, it continues. And obviously everybody knew it would, but the CEO of Volkswagen in the U.S. steps down.
Yeah, this is the third CEO since the story broke.
Now tell everybody, just to remind people what happened with VW, it was the emissions scandal that took place.
Yeah, it's an amazing story, and we keep getting dribs and drabs of information from us. However, what we don't have is word of a fix or a solution.
Right.
But 450,000 American market Volkswagen diesel products need to be recalled because they are not compliant with current emission standards because Volkswagen literally cheated in the process of certifying these vehicles. There's software on board that knows when the car is being tested and will alter the output to make it look like the car is clean. So
it's an unbelievable story.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, some people, it had to be multiple of people, knew that they were scamming the system.
Yeah.
There's no question. And since we became aware of this late last year, we've gone through three CEOs of Volkswagen.
Incredible.
Yeah. And then people keep stepping down, and we keep hearing that they knew about it but didn't respond or didn't know how to respond and kept quiet. So, yeah, it's all very ugly for Volkswagen.
And now, so the CEO in the U.S. now of Volkswagen is stepping down. How are they spinning this?
Not very well.
Yeah.
I'm not actually aware that they're trying to even spin it. It's just that he's stepping down in the midst of the scandal.
Yeah.
And that's amazing that they're not even trying to put some sort of spin on it. Although they've done such a bad job of handling the story, it's amazing. Every time Volkswagen talks about it, they sort of alter the story a little bit. And there's mea culpas one day, and then other days it's like, well, we weren't aware we were cheating the system. We thought we were, you know, it's frightening.
Yeah. Has this affected the sales of VWs?
Yeah, dramatically. They were down about a third in January and February.
Oh, man. Wow. Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on that. Well, that story's not over, obviously, Tom.
Oh, no, because we still don't know what the fix is. We don't know what happens to American diesel owners. So
What have they done now in terms of, like, how much money have they dished out back?
They had they put together sort of a, what did they call it? It was a little kit to placate owners, a customer care package, and it involved two gift cards. One was worth more or less $500 cash, and the other was worth $500 at a Volkswagen dealer. And a lot of people passed on claiming these customer care kits because they thought that they might be passing on the opportunity to take action later.
And that's a possibility as well.
It is a possibility, yeah. I haven't heard anything definitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually have one sitting on my table right here. We have not chosen to use it.
Wow. There you go. All right. That story's never going to end, I'm telling you. All right. 708 area code, Tom. Question.
Right.
And if you guys have questions, you can. It's a car-related question at 312-981-7200. What SUV fits three car seats?
Big SUVs.
Hell, I could have answered that one, Tom.
Yeah, three abreast in the rear seat's a little tricky.
Yeah.
You've got to go to your larger midsize or bigger. So you're looking at something like a Chevy Traverse, GMC Acadia is a good one, the Ford Flex or Ford Explorer. Those are the kind of largish midsize crossovers that'll probably fit three seats across.
Okay. Look at it. And also, may I suggest that if you're looking for an SUV that fits three car seats for kids, you also might want to get the technology that keeps you awake while you're driving. That's just a little piece of advice.
Yeah, you're going to need it.
I mean, you're going to need it. All right. You know what's really interesting? The story that I read here about how automakers are actually expanding. They're not just making they're cutting down on making cars. And they're expanding their focus on what they're going to be doing. And I found it really interesting that a lot of them are going to be talking about ride sharing and car sharing businesses and getting in that, not just strictly manufacturing cars. That's kind of a new thing to go along with the market, correct?
Yeah, and to the extent to which that's actually happening right now is open to interpretation. But the fact that they're looking like they're doing something, I think, keeps shareholders happy. Ford CEO Mark Fields has been on record as saying, don't look at us as a car company, but look at us as a mobility company. And I think that the companies realize that, not in the near future, but at some point people are going to be buying fewer cars. Car sales right now are spectacularly high. We're not actually seeing the impact of people who can't afford cars or are going to car sharing, but it's inevitable that there are going to be people who are going to be able to build, you know, daily commuter existences that don't involve owning a vehicle. It's almost a necessity because cars are so expensive, and they're looking at these systems. And General Motors rather famously purchased part of a company called Lyft, started its own mobility company called Maven, where they're doing car sharing and systems like that, and Uber-like companies. And we're going to see the manufacturers dabbling in this until they understand what these are, because we're at the really opening stages of a generation of people who don't buy cars. So we'll see how this plays out.
Yeah. But it is interesting that they're preparing for it, though.
It is, and it looks good, and I think they're aware of it. And yeah, I think it's good. There isn't a lot of money in it yet. I think they're spending a lot more time writing press releases than they do actually doing things. But it feels good if you're a shareholder.
Okay. And that's the most important thing, Tom.
Exactly.
Yes, it really is. All right, so let's talk about what you're driving currently and what you've been driving.
I just got out of the Jaguar XFS.
Ooh!
Yeah, and that's Jaguar's midsize sedan.
Now, Tom, isn't it necessary, though, that when you drive it, you have to say Jaguar?
I refuse to do that.
It makes me crazy, Tom. When I those commercials make me nuts.
Yeah, that is a syllable that does not belong in our language. I can't do it.
So anyway, how's the Jaguar?
It is really cramped for a midsize car, but it is otherwise a pure delight. 380 horsepower supercharged V6 and a really nice cabin and a car that's a delight to drive. A lot of fun. A little expensive. Gets to $80,000 in a hurry in this trim level, but nice car.
All right. And what else have you driven since the last time we talked?
Just got into the all-new redesigned Nissan Altima SL. And this is a car right in the sweet spot of the American midsize sedan market, about $29,000. This one has the technology package, which gets the braking systems we were just talking about, for example, with adaptive braking and lane departure warning systems. So it comes in right around $31,000 as equipped, and that's right at the heart of the market. Nice interior, really good-looking car on the outside. It's got Nissan's new V-Motion grille that people probably recognize if they see it on the street. The engine is either a little bit sporty or a little bit rough, depending on your mood that day. Right now, I'm going to call it a little sporty.
Okay. So a pleasant ride, though, all the way?
Yeah, very nice car.
Okay, very cool. All right, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Any and all car-related questions, you can come our way at 312-981-7200. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. We'll come back and talk more car stories and answer your questions on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to play another round of Would Esmeralda Buy That? That'll be coming up a little later. Always a lot of fun. Right now, though, we're talking with Tom Appel, our good friend here from Consumer Guide Automotive. You can check him out at consumerguide.com and follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Tom, welcome back, man.
Thank you.
All right. Jesse has two questions.
All right.
Jesse says, does a car's AC unit ever need a Freon recharge if there is no leak?
Yeah, I think so. I think that over time the Freon can break down. It lasts longer than it ever did because the systems are so much better sealed than they used to be. But over time, yeah, the efficacy of the system will slip a little bit and you'll have to do something about it.
Okay. And second question is, I have some car problems and multiple dealers can't figure out the problem. Should I just call the corporate office?
Yes. Yes, we do. What's going to happen is, does he see what kind of car it is?
No, he didn't.
What's going to happen is, yeah, if multiple dealers haven't been able to locate the problem, they're probably going to send out, the manufacturer will probably send out a tech to meet you at a dealership and to look into your problem.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the best way to go about that.
Okay, cool. Jim is on the line. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Hey, Tom. I want you to know, I used to be sell cars, and before I buy a car, I take them for a test drive, and dealers usually let me drive it, let's say, overnight or something like that. And let's say I drove in a Mercedes, I drove in all of them, and the best car out there that I like was the Genesis. I had four of them. Fantastic car, the Genesis from Hyundai. Now they're coming out with a 2017 is going to be the V6 twin turbo. Do you know when that's going to be released?
I don't know when that's going to be released, but for people who don't know, Genesis, which was a product of Hyundai's, there was the Genesis sedan and the Genesis coupe, is going to be replaced or displaced by the Genesis brand to be sold by Hyundai's, and it's going to be a luxury brand, not unlike Acura or Lexus, or at least Hyundai hopes it's not unlike Acura or Lexus, and that's going to sell several vehicles in the near future. And Genesis G80 sedan is our current Genesis, so that's new for 2017.
Mm.
Okay. Well, right now I'm driving a Kia, the K900, which is a fantastic car.
Yeah, basically the same car. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, Jim. Thanks for the call.
No, wait a minute. Now I got confusing because now the Genesis is a smaller car. The Equa is like the K900.
You're actually correct. Yeah, Genesis is actually a little bit smaller. You're right.
Yeah.
All right, Jim. Thanks, Jim. All right. Thanks for calling in. I have to ask you about this question or this piece that you wrote, Tom,
okay,
concerning the Domino's car. For those of you who have seen these commercials now for Domino's Pizza, where they have the car now, there's a car. It's the Domino's DXP.
Yes.
And it's got an oven in it, a warming oven in it, and there's no passenger seat so that they can put, you know, dipping sauces and 2 liters next to them in the car, and it's all decked out and designed. I've seen the commercials for this thing, and you wrote a piece about the Domino's Pizza DXP car. Tell everybody about this thing.
Yeah, I'm actually mildly troubled by this car.
Oh, that's a great sentence. I'm mildly troubled by this car.
And I'm troubled because if people who know who Roush Manufacturing is, Roush is a rather legendary upgrader of Ford Mustangs. Roush changes Mustangs to such a degree that they're no longer Fords, they're Roushes. That's the company. This is a real engineering company that really updates cars. They are now taking Chevrolet Sprints and turning them into Pizza Hut DXPs. And I'm troubled because the car is no faster and handles no better. So I don't know to what end these cars are being modified. It seems wrong somehow, but they're taking Chevrolet Sprints, and they are taking the rear passenger side door, and that is being sealed shut and replaced with a window opening that accesses a warming oven that heats pizzas to 140 degrees. Additionally, as you mentioned, the passenger seat is removed and fitted with a rack that holds 2-liter bottles and dipping sauce cups.
Right. and it's all crazy looking too. They've got Domino's logos all over it, and all kind. I mean, it looks nuts. And you, in the piece that you wrote about, you of course mentioned the fantastic Wienermobile, and then the Geek Squad Volkswagen Beetles and the Red Bull car that drives around as well.
Yeah, which I don't know. I'm more comfortable with those somehow. But this actually has a Domino's grill.
I know. That's terrifying. It's terrifying. When I saw the commercial for it, and they're like, yeah, there's an oven in the back of the car. I'm like, what? What? What is that all about?
I don't know. They take a $15,000 car and make it a $25,000 car with the upgrades that they're asking dealers to pay for. And they've built 100 of them.
Yeah.
I don't know how many are in the hands of dealers, but I think that dealers are going to push back at buying these things.
Yeah, and I wonder if the pizza prices are going to go up.
I don't know, because typically they want a driver to have their own car. So to provide...
Right.
To provide... I don't know that you want these drivers to drive your 25 grand car.
It's such a weird thing. It's so weird. And I've seen the commercials for it, so clearly it's getting lip service because of the commercials. I mean, I've talked about it with people, and so I don't know if that's going to make people order more pizza because there's an oven in the back of a $15,000 car.
I don't know. I wrote about it, so they got that.
All right. Now, I want to mention before we let you go, I just love you wrote about 5 late model cars that you never see on the road anymore. But I find it so lovely that the takeoff point in your piece happens to be Pia Zadora. I love the fact that you bring Pia Zadora up, an actress that nobody really remembers unless you remember, you know, this movie that she made in 1982, Butterfly. She was married to some hotshot who got her a Golden Globe, and then she was gone forever. And then you said you saw her again because you were watching Hairspray.
Yeah.
And she pops up in it, and you feel the same way about certain cars that you feel about Pia Zadora. Like, wow, where has she been? Oh, wow. And you thought about some cars that are like Pia Zadora. They've disappeared.
I have, yeah.
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 The premise of this piece is magnificent, Tom. That's all I'm saying. Well, give me a couple of the cars that you wrote about that you just don't see anymore. That,
yeah, one of them, and this one's interesting because there simply should be more of them, is the Chevrolet Celebrity.
Yeah.
This is a vehicle that was Chevy's bread-and-butter vehicle for decades. Well, not decades, but for a decade.
Yeah.
And they're just gone. And I don't know if it's rust, if it's disinterest, if they were just the kind of cars that people just beat on and threw away. But there are no Celebrities.
I remember the Celebrity. They were everywhere.
Yeah, and I haven't seen one in months.
How about the Ford Contour?
This one's a great car because it was just such a mess up by Ford. The Contour slotted in Ford's history between the Tempo and the current Fusion. And they were trying to take a European market car and just make it their American midsize car. But it was far, far too small. And it was a sales disaster.
Yeah.
And they sold it for a few years here. Sales were bad, especially because the rear seat was tiny, far too tiny for Americans. And ultimately just gave up on it. So that car is gone. And then there was a Mercury version that no one remembers, the Mercury Mystique. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, anyone who sees one, let me know.
Okay.
Now,
my favorite on the list, without question, Tom,
yes,
is the Grand Am. I'm telling you, man, and I love the fact that you specifically mentioned Berwyn and Cicero as where you would see a lot of Pontiac Grand Ams. To explain this car, if you can.
That is just where they lived. In the first two generations of the Grand Am, there was a funny thing about the Grand Am, and that General Motors was kind of behind the times on V6 engines, and they were using these sort of big old overhead valve engines that sounded good and developed a lot of torque down low. So for a few feet, like across an intersection, they sort of felt quick. I think a lot of people got sucked into that, thinking that they're actually fast cars.
Yeah, I had a friend who had a Grand Am, man. I don't even. It's a ridiculous vehicle.
Yeah, there were rear spoilers and body cladding and obnoxious wheels and really crazy grills and
completely ridiculous.
Yeah, it just for the taste challenge, this was a heck of a nice car.
Yeah, and they're gone. Oh boy. All right, Tom, always a pleasure, man. Informative and a lot of fun. Publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, check out consumerguide.com, and you can follow Tom on Twitter @car_guy_Tom. Tom, always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you next month, all right?
Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Tom Appel, everybody. We'll take a break. We got the news coming up next on WGN.